We are going to start with the quote because, of course, this talk is higher than the highest human thought can reach. And you recognize that that came from Education, page 18. Higher than the highest human thought can reach is God's ideal for His children. Godliness, God-likeness, is the goal to be reached. And I've just been so thankful to see how God has intermeshed all of the messages that we've been giving. And we haven't consulted each other about any of these things, but the Holy Spirit has truly blessed in a marked way. So, again, this is from Isaiah 55, where God says in verse 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Why does God give us this information? You know, it's very, at times it can be overwhelming to think the high calling that we have in Christ Jesus. And yet, it is an honor and a privilege. We just have to become willing to come up higher and to allow the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason I started yesterday with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the only effective teacher that can help us to understand. Because if our thoughts are not His thoughts and our ways aren't His ways, we're going to have Him to help us to see where the difference is, so that we can, with a heart response, we're not just looking for outward conformity, we're looking for heart responses. That's true education. You can have education without a heart response. But when you are looking for a heart response that is going to allow God's process to take you from point A all the way through, and then as we talked this morning about, then you will actually go into the next school in the heaven. So we are just so grateful that we have this privilege and that we have a perfect guide. A perfect guide. And I didn't get to cover half of what I would have liked to have covered about the Holy Spirit, but if I've done anything, I hope I have been a catalyst. So you will go and study. What is it that God gave us? Start in Desire of Ages 670, 671, and 672, and you will find there a description. And it says that Jesus rejoiced that He had made such abundant provision. He was thrilled that this was going to more than adequately meet the need. And so that was heaven's assessment of the Holy Spirit's help for us. And that's why the devil doesn't want us to get hold of it. He doesn't want us, and actually we don't get hold of it. It gets hold of us, but we have to invite it. And the way that it works is that when we realize our need, well, in this case, that's why I read this quote, is because we have a real need here. We're going to go higher than the highest human thought can reach. That means it's not humanly possible. And it's purposely that way. God wants you to enter into a union with Him, a dependence on Him that will enable Him to work out His will. And in homeschooling, in any true education work that takes place, you need to always remember this one principle is so important. And it is that as we work on the plan of addition, God works on the plan of multiplication. Amen. When that happens, it looks like you're doing such an infinitesimal little bit that you just can see, how could this make any difference? You're obeying. And when you obey God, it enables Him to work on a plan that is far beyond anything that you could expect or you could even ask for. And I want to read a quote here. Let me see what I did with it. It's in Acts of the Apostles. This has become just a key for me because it tells about the character of God, for one thing, because it shows here that in this whole process, from start to finish, it initiates from Him. And so we have to have heart responses. And we're always saying, yes, yes, yes. Even if it doesn't look like it's something that we can figure out how to do, if we just do the next thing. If we just do 1 + 1, it will enable Him to take it to the next level. And so Acts of the Apostles 4:78, it goes like this. And I don't have time to read the whole thing because we have much to cover. He says, He brings us to His Word, number one. And from the tree of life presents to us leaves for the healing of sin-sick souls. We're talking about how to restore sin-sick souls. So he's taking us first to the Word, and there's healing leaves there that he's going to give us. Healing leaves that are promises. God's Word, it's his promises. And then after he gives us those leaves, then he leads us to the throne of God. Now you remember in Hebrews, we should come boldly to the throne of God. Yes, we should come because we're coming in Christ's name and we're coming through the Holy Spirit's prompting. So we have every encouragement that we could possibly have. So he brings us now to the throne, and then what does he do? Listen to this. He puts in our mouth a prayer. So he's even initiating the very prayers we pray. And he told us in Luke 11:13 that we should pray and ask for the Holy Spirit, which will bring all other blessings in its train. So when we ask for this, we will then understand, and that's why this quote, after he's put this prayer in our mouth, it says it's through this prayer which we are brought into close contact with himself, and get this, in our behalf. Whose behalf? Our behalf. We said a prayer, and now it's in our behalf. Oh, what a God we serve. In our behalf, he sets in operation the all-powerful agencies of heaven. As you went and did your 1+1, he prompted you to come to the Word. He gave you the promises. He brought you to the throne, and he put in your mouth a prayer. And you prayed that prayer. You asked him. And you can even ask him to do for you that which you don't even know how to ask for. And that's the promise there in over there, so rich with meaning in Romans 8:27, where that the Holy Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which we cannot utter. It's so profound. He's doing so much for us. We have such a little part to do. But if we don't do our part, he can't do any of what he wants to do. So this is such a blessed privilege. And so he sets in operation the all-powerful agencies of heaven. And at every step, we touch his living power. Oh, I just get so excited about that, because there's going to be times in your homeschooling or in any endeavor for true education that you're going to feel overwhelmed. But listen, there's promises for every need in his Word. We are told that when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. He truly is waiting to be gracious unto us. And he will work in our hearts if we allow him, and we invite him, and we cherish him. And that's why I invite you, go and study out. What does the Holy Spirit really offer you? I didn't get to cover it yesterday, but there is a false Holy Spirit, a counterfeit. It's based on emotion. It's not based on the Word. It doesn't really appreciate studying the Word. It doesn't spend much time there. It doesn't really find the joy of service. It's drudgery. It's just, I have to do it. There's a false. So don't get tangled up in that. What God is offering you is far beyond anything that you could ever hope for. And once you get a taste of it, that's what Jesus was talking about. He said, up inside your belly will flow out rivers of living water. And you will draw out of the wells of salvation with joy. So God has an experience for each of us, not just for the young people, but for us. And that's why I started yesterday too, is that we have to have it in order to give it, in order to guide our young people into this experience. We have to have it. And when we have it, it's such a joy that it will bubble out and it will enable. And young people love this kind of thing. We have to give them a taste of it. We have to wet their palate for it. And when they experience it, there will be a joy. And I just love this different statements because, well, let me get ahead of myself. But anyway, in cherishing this Holy Spirit, it will unlock. It will bring. It's the key. It's the missing ingredient. It's the thing that will unlock, and it is the perfect instructor. So you're really following the guide. And it's the thing also that will teach us what is right and what is wrong, what is true and what is error. It is the key. So now let's move on. And then as we talked just briefly yesterday, that we need to see in each one, each young person, each individual we meet, an adult, we need to see them not as we see them, but as what they can become. If through our influence, this is true education as well, as we, through our influence, encourage them to a higher life of how to have this experience themselves, then we can see that there's infinite possibilities, and that's what Jesus had, was the mind of and the eye of faith, so that when he looked at people, he saw infinite possibilities, what the grace of God can do. We know not, but he knows, and we just be cooperative in his hand, that even if it's just by a smile on our face or a word in season, God will use it. We work on the plan of what? Addition. He prompts us to a word, a smile, whatever. It looks so small. How can that help anything? Well, it can. He can work on the plan of multiplication many times. I was talking to someone, and I was sharing like this, and you know, and I said, you know, I really feel like I need to go get some training. I've never had any training in how to do Bible work, and I was wanting to do Bible work. They said, you'll do fine. You've got a holy glow. I said, what? And I said, oh, well, maybe the Lord is helping me. Maybe there's something there that as I work on my plan of addition, that he's able to take it to a different level. So I just want to encourage you. You don't have to be all knowledgeable. You just need to be teachable. And you need to be teachable by the Holy Spirit. And then that's where the statements, where it says that God can do more. He can actually do more through an educated person if they're consecrated. See, so it's all about consecration. It's all about who has the Spirit, who's responding. That's the real key here. So then he can take us to wherever he wants and lead us in the way that he has, and we're all part of that one body with many members. So now we're going to move on to some more things, and that is, pass this. Okay, there is also a little thought that I want to leave in your mind, and it should be a daily thought. If I am not intentionally and determinedly part of the solution, then I'm still part of the problem. That is something we need to consider. We need to actually be aggressively on the side of right. Don't just let circumstances guide you. You need to be in charge. You need to take hold, because we've got things to do. And we can't just roll with the punches. We've got to actually be soldiers in Christ's army. So I'm going to say it again. If I am not intentionally and determinedly, because there's going to be things to try to sway you from that. So if I'm not intentionally and determinedly part of the solution, then I'm still part of the problem. And God wants to use you to help be part of the solution. So, he's going to take us through a whole experience that will help us to do just what he wants us to do at the right time. Now, before I move too far from this, I wanted to mention to you before, I did mention the quote, but I didn't tell you where it was. And it's the one about how that the children are the lawful prey of the enemy. That's why we work to try to bring them back to the restoration. That's why we work to try to enable this whole process to take place. And it is abundantly provided for, but we need to recognize this is one of our enemies. So it's from a Review and Herald article, September 19, 1854, paragraph 11. Review and Herald, September 19, 1854, paragraph 11. Now, there is another thought that I would like to share, and that is, in order to receive God's help, man must first realize his weakness and his deficiency. So as we come humbly. We come humbly and asking our Heavenly Father, and it delights him to realize that we realize that we are totally dependent upon him. And that enables him. So in this, I want to mention again that in this whole process, there is quite an experience that God wants to take us through. Have you ever sat down and just let your mind think for a moment all of the wealth, and this is a good time to actually mention it right here, is that if you go to the website, true.education, and you look for those Ellen G. White quotes, and as we just mentioned about that there is things to back up all of this. So you're going to look there, and you're going to see that everything that God gave is now, you're going to see that it's actually being proven true on True Education. And so we have now where things are catching up with us. Isn't it beautiful that God in His omniscience, His foresight, made such abundant provision? Well, who is God? Let me back you up. Go back to Genesis 1. And right there in the very first verse, what does it say? In the beginning was God. And who was it? It was God, Elohim. Three persons of the Godhead, three separate people, three persons working so closely together that they have a singular verb, as though that every action is so complementary. They are always in harmony, never in competition, and that's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's provided everything, all the resources of heaven, plus holy angels to come, and these holy angels are just waiting by the throne, ready to do bidding, waiting us to ask for help, and then He sends. He sends us everything we need. And so, in His omniscience, He is Elohim, but Elohim is the covenant-keeping God. In other words, He will never go back on His covenant. If there's anybody that backs out, it's us. It's not Him. He's faithful. He's always faithful, and He's always, Elohim, is always anticipating our needs and always ahead of time. This is what you see in the first chapter of Genesis. He's always anticipating. Everything is leading up to the creation of man. He didn't do man on the first day because He didn't have everything prepared. This is such a powerful lesson, is that we are always in our homes to be working so unitedly. Never any competition, never any rebellion. It's a sweet experience. God wanted it to be based on love and caring. You can't have love with just one person. It takes more than one entity in order to have a love experience. And so, in this, in that very first chapter, you see Elohim, the covenant-keeping God, making full provision for all of man's needs. And then He is fulfilling everything. And it is a love experience, working harmoniously, He's taught us. And we just mentioned, too, how we learn by example. We learn by what we see. And so as we read this first chapter, we see the lessons that come home for true education in our experience, in our home, and in our schools. So this is God's ideal. Well, now back to this thought. Did you ever stop and think about all the myriad of information, all of this, that tells us every single aspect, the counsels that God has? And, you know, some people say the spirit of prophecy and they put SOP. Well, I like to rename it and I say secrets of providence. That's the secrets of providence. Aren't you glad that in all of this material, God has given you the secrets of providence? Because He said, surely the Lord God would do nothing except He revealeth His secrets unto His servants, who? The prophets. So if He's revealing this information for us, wouldn't we be foolish not to tap into it and see? If He said, this is how a Christian home operates, and He tells you where the pitfalls are, where the things are, He's warning you that these things destroy peace and harmony in your home. These things will build it. And so He's telling us the secrets of Christian living, of how to arrive at this standard that is beyond our highest comprehension. And so He tells us everything we need to know about health. Well, we can be the leaders, as it says in Deuteronomy 28. We can be the head and not the tail, because we understand. And in all of this true education, remember, true education will always teach us the cause and the effect relationship. When you understand the cause and effect relationship, which He gives you through all of this wealth of information, He's telling you the cause and effect. This is what causes the negative. This is what causes the positive. And so that therefore, if you are honest in heart, you'll say yes every time to the right. When you're being prompted by that Holy Spirit, you're going to always say yes, just like we talked about Jesus. In a moment, in 5 BC, 1117, he had quick discernment to see where's the Holy Spirit working, where is it not, and this is where I want to go and what I'm going to do. So he could always align himself perfectly so that God could bless the Holy Spirit. He was given to him without measure, as it says in John 3:34. So this is going to tap into the Spirit, because it says in Testimonies to South Africa, and I believe it's 66.2, and it says the Word of God is the seed of the Holy Spirit. So as we put this Word into us, it's the seed for the Holy Spirit. Now, I get excited. Some people can't walk past chocolate and pass it up. I can't hardly walk past seeds, because when I look at seeds, I see potential. Yes, it looks like a seed, but I can see tomatoes. When I look at seeds, I can see peppers, corn, popcorn. You have a wonderful experience, young people. If you haven't ever grown popcorn, you have got to grow popcorn. You just won't want to miss it. And you'll want to have it. And you can grow enough for all year long. And it's a wonderful experience. That's fast food. So anyway, but we'll get off the popcorn for now. But anyway, back to this, is that God has given us his secrets. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to come off more than conquerors through Christ. He wants us to be able to do all things through Christ. And he's enlightening us. That's true education. God's enlightenment plan. So, as we get enlightened and we start cooperating, we start having a more blessed experience, and we start fulfilling God's desires for us, as well as our own heart's desires start coming forth, we start seeing that God truly is the answer to all our needs. So, then, as I mentioned, okay, now we have all the information we need to know how to have health. Well, today, and you know as well as I do, there's more sick people now than ever before. And they are really reaching out, trying to find a better way. I know a man in Tennessee, and he runs a little health food store. And people come to him all the time, asking him, what can I do for this? What can I do for that? And he tells them, and he shares the health message with them. And he sees results, and they see results. He's had so many experiences. There was one couple that came in there, and they had just been to the pharmacy across the street. And the pharmacy says, there's nothing more I can give you. There's nothing I have that will help your husband. He's on a downhill slope. There's nothing that'll turn him around that I have to work with in this pharmacy. He said, but I tell you what, go see him over there in that health food store. You go talk to him. He did. And when he did, oh, it was the turnaround. It was a turnaround for these people. When my friend Walt started talking to these people, he asked them, and this man is a godly Christian Seventh-day Adventist man, and he has such a wonderful way sharing Jesus with people. He asked the people, he said, do you believe in God? They said, no. Neither of them believed in God. He said, well, I want to tell you right now, I can't heal you. Only God can. Nothing I have here in this store will heal you. It is God and God alone that can heal you. He says, I can give you some things, you can do some things, but he says, it's going to take God. It's going to take God. And do you know God turned that man around? And you know what? Then when Walt asked them later, he said, do you believe in God now? He said, yes. Yes. So God uses wonderful ways. You know, it's good that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy precepts. We oftentimes, we run from the situations when God is trying to use those situations. We need to have more faith in God. He can do many things. In fact, he can do the impossible. So, again, we have every kind of information that we could possibly have. And so this truly is Secrets of Providence. This is what we need, and he said, this is a really precious quote to me. It's found in the 1888 materials on page 27.1. It says, from the Holy of Holies, there goes on the grand work of instruction. So you can know that as you are working in true education, you're working with God in the most holy place. And it says also in 5T 661, never a time when God instructed his people more earnestly. So he has stepped up the pace. He's turned up the volume. He's trying to help us because we have a short time and we have much to learn. But we have a perfect guide, a perfect teacher, and it says that he can teach us more in 1 hour. This is not an exaggeration. He can teach us more in 1 hour than we can learn in a whole lifetime. Well, that is precious. That means in a situation, if that's what he needs to do, he can do it. But if he wants you to go through the character discipline of learning little by little, that's also part of it too. So just have faith in God and know that he can do it. And then I want to read this precious quote. It's Desire of Ages 250, 251. He who loves Christ the most will do the greatest amount of good. There is no limit to the usefulness of one who, by putting self aside, makes room for the working of the Holy Spirit upon his heart and lives a life wholly consecrated to God. If men will endure the necessary discipline without complaining or fainting, by the way, God will teach them hour by hour and day by day. He longs to reveal his grace. And I want to just mention here, what did I tell you yesterday was the thing that grieved the Holy Spirit the fastest? Complaining. Murmuring. Letting your attitude get in the way. That is one of the things you want to be aware of. And we're all told about this. There is myriads of passages that tell us that very thing. And that's why in a school, when you are in the school of Christ, you're going to have a master's degree in some things. What do you think those master's degrees are going to be in? Self-mastery, for one. We must learn to master self and not let self master us. And right now, we have to learn to use the frontal lobe to make choice, not by on how we feel, not by our emotions. So we're going to be making frontal lobe decisions that are based on principle. Based totally on what God hath said. If he said that we are to control our thoughts, and I mentioned this yesterday, that after I lost my husband 1 year ago, God took me through a process. And whenever, and I knew that I was in great danger, I could just see that it wouldn't take much for me just to go into deep depression and could even spiral down to death. I mean, I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't function. I was just needing the Lord, and I just kept reaching out to God to say, help me, Lord, help me, you know, and he did. He started actually tutoring me in my mind, and the passages he started bringing to my mind, and he started telling me, every time you're starting to think about what has happened, I want you to stop thinking that way and don't let it even begin. Don't go down that way. As soon as you see it coming this way, you need to start thinking, and he said, think of anything whatsoever that you can be thankful for about the situation. So I started thinking, well, thank you, Lord, that he wasn't killed in a car wreck. Thank you, Lord, nobody else got hurt or anything else. He was there in the field. Thank you, Lord, that's where Bob would have wanted to die. Thank you, Lord. And it was just whenever, and as long as it took to get me away from that negative thing, then once I was stabilized again, then I could go forward. And if it ever started to creep up on me again, then I'd look for some more things and be thankful and thankful. And I overcame evil with good. And I learned that this process works. This process works in every part of your Christian life. And I began to realize, you know, this was another thing. You know, people, I remember the passage that said, beware of self-pity. And I kept saying, yes, beware of self-pity. And so I was realizing, you know, I have to stay off that ground. I cannot afford there. And, you know, one of the things that cured me of that was I realized, well, you know what? Bob doesn't even know he's dead. He's just like he's sleeping. And he's going to be the person that comes up to me, like it says in Early Writings, page 17, it says, what did you pass through while I was sleeping? And I was like, yes, I'm going to tell him I went to Southern. You know, he's going to be so surprised. I went to California, to Los Angeles. I have already been doing this. And he's going to like, what? You did that? what? You don't even know how to run a computer. So that's why I say the Holy Spirit can do wonders. Amen. All you got to do is have a willing heart. Amen. And he can take you places and do things with you. You just need to give yourself to him. And there's no limit to the usefulness of one who lays self aside and makes room for the working of the Holy Spirit. So we're going, and this is a thought too, because my overall thought was the Lord said, yes, you're going to be striving for excellence. Well, what is excellence? Excellence is reaching your maximum potential in Christ and through the three great powers of the Godhead. Not what your friend can do, your spouse can do, or anyone else. Excellence is what you, reaching your maximum potential for God through the three persons of the Godhead. Oh, are you okay? Sorry.
Oh, dear. Did it hit your head?
Yes, it did. It hit him in the head. Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to scream in the microphone. Anyway, okay, now, God desires you to attain the highest point of excellence. So without great labor, there can be no excellence. And so that was a thought that Bob and I, he asked me one time when he came in, we were talking about true education and things, and we were telling, you know, how that agriculture is a very vital part of this true education. And most people don't want to really get involved with agriculture for one reason. What is that one reason? It's not just work, it's hard work. You're going to have to do things that you don't feel like doing when you don't feel like doing them, and longer than you want to do them. And it's going to be a real character development, because you have to wrestle with self. And you have to come off more than conqueror, because otherwise you'll back down and you'll just get weaker. So one day when Bob says, you know, I need an acronym for hard work. And it was just like, and I didn't even have to think about it. So I said, well, this isn't mine. This is from the Lord for you, Bob. And it was, healthy attitudes rightly directed will obtain righteous knowledge. That's hard work. But in the outcome, those healthy attitudes rightly directed will obtain righteous knowledge. That's true education. That's why agriculture is a part of true education. Because you have to keep your attitude right. If you go out into that garden with your children, those young people, or if you do any agricultural pursuit with anybody, you have to have a healthy attitude. Yes. Yes. Hard work. And this is the acronym. Hard work. Healthy attitudes rightly directed will obtain righteous knowledge. And who's going to be directing those attitudes? The Holy Spirit. And you are going to have to be choosing, just like whenever I was tempted to start thinking in the negative, bring your thought back over here and start thinking in the right way. Let the Holy Spirit lead your thoughts instead of your feelings. Those are all very important, especially in agricultural pursuits. What did you need?
I'll get it. I hate it to miss.
Oh, yes. Healthy attitudes rightly directed will obtain righteous knowledge. And so, let's move on here. Now, one of these master's degrees that you're going to have, and this is what we're talking about right here. It says, there is a science of Christianity to be mastered. A science as much deeper, broader, higher than any human science, as the heavens are higher than the earth. The mind is to be educated, trained, for we are to do service for God in ways that are not in harmony with inborn inclination. Hereditary and cultivated tendencies to evil must be overcome. Our hearts must be educated. And so then there's another thought that goes right with this, and I think these are both from Ministry of Healing 454. We are to form habits of thought that will enable us to resist temptation. We must learn to look upward, the principles of the Word of God, principles that are as high as heaven. That's principles such as self-denial, self-sacrificing love, that compass eternity we are to understand in their bearing upon our daily life. Every act, every word, every thought is to be in accord with these principles. All must be brought into harmony with the subject and be subject to Christ. And then that the first part, yeah, it was 254 as well. No, the first part I think was 254. Yes. So anyway, if not, get your CD-ROM out and hunt for it. I have so many notations here. It's either 453 in Ministry of Healing, 254, or the last part I know is 454. So these are some masters that you're going to have when you finish, not finish, but when you are graduating to the school above, is that you will already have had this. This is a very, very important part because you won't go anywhere in your progress in true education without it. And that's why by the time you get finished, you're going to be a master at it. Now, our time is quickly going, and I think I have 12 minutes. So, you remember, and I mentioned this just briefly here, is that when we have the spirit of prophecy, the secrets of providence, and God is enlightening us to the cause and effect relationship, so that we can see it in whether it's in agriculture or whether it's in home life, whether it's in our health, whether it's in our education, whatever it is, we have the secrets and we know on both sides. So that we will have the education to help us to be able to discern when we go for our training or whatever it is so that we can be, quote, educated people. We have something to always be testing it by. And that's why I'm so excited, because this research that has come out, when you go to that true.education, you're going to see so much that is going to stand and support you in all of this endeavor. So, with all of this behind us, we have now, we thought about how that God gave at the very start of the Advent movement, He gave some special gifts. Do you remember Dr. Kellogg? He became so renowned that many, many famous people came. And when people wanted to have a surgery, and Dr. Kellogg even became famous for his incisions and his the way that a person's incision looked afterward. It was like his signature that everybody, you know, they say, oh, Dr. Kellogg did that. And it was not to promote Dr. Kellogg. It was that God was trying to show where the light was. He was trying to draw the Gentiles to the light so that they would see that. And so there was many things. And even like Effie Belden, I believe it was Effie Belden, you remember that when he would sit down, and this was at the beginning too, he would sit down, and by the time the sermon was over, as soon as he picked up on where it was heading, the topic, by the end of that, he was able to do the presentation in music. I'm just like, I love music. And so it's just like, wow, Lord, restore that gift. Amen. Wouldn't that be beautiful? And you know, one thing that really has come to my mind more and more is that, as I told you, how God is trying to lead my mind, it's getting easier and easier to do that. It's just a wonderful experience. I highly recommend it. The only regret I have is that I didn't do it sooner. But it took a real crisis that made me feel my need to my very core of my being, that's what got my attention. And I went from this point to this point because I was so desperate. I was just, I knew that my life depended on it. If I didn't get my act together, I was going to go down. And I knew that I couldn't afford even time out, so to speak, to grieve and to be dysfunctional, because there was too much now resting on top of me. So anyway, so with this, I want to say in Job 29:13, it says, I made the widow's heart to sing. And do you know that's exactly what God has been doing for me?
Praise the Lord.
He has been enabling me. And when I read the word, or sometimes when I'm reading in spirit of prophecy, He gives me a song. And I was just like, Father, that is so beautiful. And I keep little slips of paper, and I think sometime, you know, I'm going to try to get these on a tape. I want to listen to them again, you know. And I do, I sing them. I wrote them on my little paper, and then I put what my tune is there. You know, it's hard to do. I'm not even musical. I mean, I can't even read music. So, you know, that's why I say the Lord can do the impossible. But I'm just saying is that they are such a joy to my heart. And He will do the same for you. And that's why I bring this up. The only reason I bring this up is I see potential in each one of these young people and in yourself as well. God will do beyond what you can imagine if you're willing. And if you ask Him, sometimes I read something and I say, Lord, this is so beautiful. I want a song. I want to be able to remember this in song. And then sometimes it's a difficult, you know, sometimes the way the wording of different things are have to have some help in being able to put it into a song. But the reason I bring this up is that there is such potential sitting right here in this room, just such potential, that I want to encourage you to start thinking in this line, because God can do wonderful things. And I'll tell you a secret. I'll tell you a secret. Because I'm not able to write music and all this kind of stuff, I borrow tunes. Now, there are so many tunes that I love, and so these precious favorites I often employ to fit my scripture songs and my inspired statement songs. And they were wonderful because I already love those tunes anyway. And so then when I have my words with my tunes, and that's why I bring this up, is because these young people can do the same thing. Yes?
Well, excuse me. We have a request. She would like you to sing one of them.
Yes. Well, I would like to. I'm not really a singer in public, so I will try to have my courage up, and if God comes through, we'll do that. But anyway, I've wanted so many times to tell young people this very thing, and that's the whole reason. This brings such joy to my heart for me to be able to encourage somebody, and I hope the Lord will put a spark in somebody, because it will be such a joy to you. And you know the reason why it said, I made the widow's heart to sing? It says, I made the widow's heart to sing for joy. That's Job 29:13. And you don't have to be a widow in order to have that experience. So anyway, and when we have our army of youth, I only have 5 minutes, and I want to tell you, when we have our army of youth rightly trained, they are going to more than fulfill the part there where it says in 1 Corinthians 4:9, it says that we are a spectacle unto the world. When we have such a loving relationship in the home that we are tenderly guiding and directing these young people, when we have that kind of bond, and you'll have that bond because you're doing everything together, not in a have-to mode. Remember, you're guiding your thoughts, your attitudes, healthy attitudes rightly directed. So it's going to be a joy for young people to have you as their teacher, to have you to guide them. And they're going to love to come and show you all the joys that they have been finding, their treasures, their discoveries, their joys of learning. It's going to be a beautiful thing because as children, this is key, as children begin to grasp the cause and effect relationships that you can share with them in all these myriad of different topics, you are, as they sit down with you and they realize, well, this causes this. Oh, and this causes this? Well, then it enlists their will, and they start choosing the right from the earliest time of their being because you're carefully guiding them. And so as they experience that, they begin to trust God because they see God loves me so much that He didn't want me to have to experience this. And I'll say this is that God gave us the Word, and He gave us the Spirit of prophecy because He wants us to learn from the mistakes of others. He doesn't want us to go through the sad time of learning from our old mistakes. So He's giving this as a preventive. That's His real goal. And so the wise will pick up and learn. They don't have to go and do this that we have record of. The perceptive will learn from their own mistakes. They will recognize where they made a mistake because they have the Holy Spirit to guide them. And the Holy Spirit says, that was a mistake. We should have done this. and they come to repentance and they confess it and they say, yes, Lord, forgive me. I learned from that. I never want to repeat it. Help me to hear that still small voice calling me when I'm about to go down that road, and that word behind me I will hear. So, as we do that, but you know what the problem with the fool is? The fool won't learn from the mistakes of others, and the fool is not teachable. He won't learn from his own mistakes. Therefore, what more could God do for him? There's nothing he can do. If he's that rebellious in his heart, he's not teachable. You can't correct him. You can't get him to do any better. He's just leaning into his own understanding. There's absolutely nothing more. So we can choose. Do we want to be the wise? Do we want to be the perceptive? Or do we want to be the fool? We had that choice. Well, our time, I have 1 minute. 1 minute, and where to go from here? Well, I guess I'm going to save agriculture for tomorrow. I can't do it in 1 minute and do it justice. But anyway, Lord willing, tomorrow we will. And at this time, I want to end my talk by saying this, that it is the touch of the Master's hand that makes all the difference in what I shared with you today. And the Master's hand is ready to help you. And my dear friend Mark Kent is going to sing a song to rivet this truth into your heart and mind, to realize what God wants to do with all of us. And I'm just so grateful for this precious privilege that we have.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.